Which is easier, to invite a stranger into your home or to knock on the door of somebody you don't know? Both of these certainly entail risk-taking, especially in today's world. But these are the things that Jesus challenges his disciples to do. This brief gospel reading today completes the story, Jesus' discourse to his 12 disciples as he prepares to send them out on a mission trip. And if you remember, Jesus had been telling them that there are risks and rewards in sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. He also gave them instructions, you remember, about not carrying anything extra with them, but that they were to rely on the hospitality of strangers. What they were to carry was authority, his authority, to heal, to cast out demons, and to proclaim the kingdom of God. And we've seen that we have been given this exact same authority and the same warnings and the same promises. But these last few verses sound different. Jesus is still talking to his 12 disciples who are about to go out, but he's talking about those who would receive them. We see from these verses that receiving Jesus' people is just as risky and rewarding as being the disciple who was sent by Jesus. Receiving Jesus' people is rewarding because when we welcome Jesus' disciples, those who come in his name, we are welcoming, Jesus says, you are welcoming me, myself, and you are welcoming even the Father, the one who sent me. There are spiritual blessings for receiving Jesus' disciples. There are also physical blessings because you get to hear and receive whatever that person has. But there are also risks for receiving Jesus' disciples. Jesus says the one who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Well, sometimes the prophet's reward wasn't so great. It was mocking, persecution, and even death. Jesus himself wasn't always treated well, and he already told his disciples to expect to be treated like he was treated. Which sometimes is a welcome reception and sometimes is persecution, being run out of town and even trying to be killed. But those who identify with Jesus' people either by being sent or by welcoming will be treated like Jesus. And Jesus uses three different terms here to describe his disciples. He uses prophets, righteous ones, and little ones. Prophets, a term that is designated by the message that is given, the good news of the kingdom of God. The righteous are known by action, the person who lives as Jesus commands, the ones who pursue justice. And the disciple is called the little one because he or she is totally dependent upon God. Sometimes we think of the prophets and the righteous people perhaps as special people whom God sends out, those who we think of as better teachers or more spiritual. But Jesus, we heard, sends all of us out. Ordinary disciples. We are all little ones. We have to remind ourselves that we are totally dependent upon our Heavenly Father. But when we obey, because we obey, we will be equipped. Jesus promises again and again that he'll give us what we need. The Holy Spirit will empower us with what we need at the right time. And Jesus also refers to new believers as little ones. So we don't have to know it all in order to obey Jesus. In fact, if we waited until we knew it all, we would never go because we will never know it all in this life. We are disciples. We are followers. We are learners. We are the disciplined ones. And dependence upon God is the key to the success of the mission because it's something we can do ourselves. It doesn't point to God. It doesn't bring honor and glory to God. Prophets, righteous ones, and little ones are not three different categories of disciples. Remember, this is still the 12, but they're three aspects of what it means to be a disciple. Those who come in his name. We serve, we're passionate about justice, but we have a message to give, and we are totally dependent upon the Father. We receive in the name of a prophet, the name of a righteous one, because Jesus is these things. He is the prophet. He is the righteous one. And when we receive Jesus' disciples, we are receiving Jesus. Those who come in his name are the ones whom we are to receive. It is not about the individual, but it's about the office, the role that they have. Stanley Saunders puts it this way, that Jesus democratizes his power and the responsibilities that come with it in ministry by giving it to his disciples. Now, certainly, there's a lot of false prophets out there. Jesus doesn't tell us to welcome them, and the New Testament epistle writers warn us against welcoming them, and they tell us not to receive them. But we receive the ones who come in Jesus' name, and then we listen. Every single church ought to be a receiving church as well as a sending church. We have both functions as churches, and every one of us as disciples is called to be the same thing. We are to go and we are to welcome. When you welcome, you bless those whom you receive, and in turn, you are blessed. And when you go, you bless others by bringing the hope and the presence of Jesus, his message, his works. And in turn, you are blessed through the hospitality that you receive. And everyone is blessed by Jesus. Hospitality is measured by Jesus not in quantity or fanciness, but in meeting the needs that are before us and the ability given to us. Matthew Henry says that kindnesses given to Christ's disciples are valued in Christ's books, not according to the cost of the gift, but according to the love and affection of the giver. It's not about what is given as much as it is about the spirit in which it is given. And like I shared with the children, Jesus talks about that cup of cold water. For a hot and thirsty traveler, that was one thing that was desperately needed. The cup of cold water is life-restoring. A gourmet meal might be nice, but it's not what's needed in that moment. Safe shelter is more important than luxury accommodations. And you might not be able to feed all the hungry people, but you might be able to provide one family with their next meal. Sometimes God's people are refugees who are fleeing persecution, who need a safe place to stay. I was part of a prayer meeting this week. It was for a specific ministry of which I'm a part of. And like most ministries this time of year, including Discovery Church and our presbytery, they have some pretty significant financial needs. And so they're having their people pray for God's provision. And one of the women in this prayer group, as we were praying, said, "I had a vision of an unfinished room." And as we continued in prayer, she was confident that the room would get finished, but that it was not her job to finish the room, nor was it something that she could do. But she was called to put in a piece of sheetrock. She was called to do her part. We get overwhelmed with all the needs in the world, but we are called to welcome those whom God sends to us and to meet their needs in the small ways that we can. Do what you can and don't worry about what you can't. It may seem like a little thing to meet the need of one of Jesus's little ones, but doing the right thing at the right time will never go unnoticed or unrewarded by Jesus. Now, sometimes we think we're meeting a need, but we give the wrong gift. We might give money to someone when they really need to be mentored or they need help finding a job. Or we might give advice to someone when what they really need is to be heard. There are different ways that the Holy Spirit directs us to welcome God's people. But both in sending and receiving, we have to rely on other disciples, the family of faith, for God's mission to be accomplished. It's not just me and Jesus, and it was never intended to be. God made us interdependent. God made us into a family. The Holy Spirit has given each of us different gifts and placed us in different positions in His body so that together we are one whole body. As receivers, we are to welcome. And to welcome is to provide safe shelter. A lot of churches claim to be welcoming, but they aren't really. And you're neither welcoming by affirming sin or by pretending sin doesn't exist, nor by preaching prosperity that if you come to Jesus, all your problems will be gone. But you're welcoming by providing a place for the little ones, the vulnerable disciples of Jesus who don't have it all together. A welcoming place is one where people don't have to be fake. A place where people can be real so that healing and wholeness can take place. A place where we acknowledge our dependence upon God and our dependence on one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was in Japan, I was part of a gospel choir, Living in Praise, and they're pretty significant now, happy to say. But one of the songs that we used to sing was Hezekiah Walker's I Need You to Survive. And way back when I was first going to Wekirk, one of the first ones that Jim attended with me, we sang it there one year, and it struck him too. I need you to survive. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's family. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's family. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Stand with me. Agree with me. I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. For some of us, it's hard to be the receiver. We want to be the giver, but we don't want to be vulnerable enough to allow ourselves to be ministered to. But it's risky. But both being welcoming and being received is risky. But they're also both rewarding. The message to those being received is comfort. That God will provide for your needs through God's people. And the message to the receivers is blessing, that you are welcoming Jesus Himself. You are welcoming the Father Himself when you receive those whom God sends to you. Finally, our passage ends with Jesus Himself going into towns and cities to teach and preach. Because Jesus doesn't ask anything of us that He Himself has not done or would not do. He is our example for sure, but He's more than that. He's gone before us, and He goes with us, and He follows after us, and He equips us. But it's His message and His work that we are sharing. Because He's democratized it. He's allowed us to be part of what He's doing. And teaching and preaching was Jesus' primary purpose. The healing and the miracles that He did served to validate the gospel message. And this is true of the works that we do in Jesus' name. They're not meant to be an end in themselves, but to point to Jesus and to point to the kingdom of God. Because there's a lot of people who do a lot of good for a lot of reasons. But we're called to serve in Jesus' name for the glory of God. Jesus didn't heal people because it made him feel better about himself. He healed people to bring glory to the Father and to help people experience the kingdom of God. So may we be those who live in such a way that help people experience the kingdom of God. May we be a welcoming church. May we be disciples who are ready to receive other disciples. And may we be those who are sent, taking the risk to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And may we remember that the way we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ is the way that we treat Jesus. It's the way that we treat God himself. So let us be receivers and senders. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for equipping us, for going before us, for following after us. We thank you that we don't have to have it all together, but we go as those completely dependent upon you. And we go with a message that you've given us, and we go with authority because we go in your power. Lord, help us to be those who receive and welcome the little ones, the prophets, and the righteous. Because when we receive others, we are receiving you. We are receiving the Father in heaven. Help us to listen to the Spirit so that we can give the right gift at the right time. And remind us that we don't have to solve all the world's problems. And we don't have to be fancy. We just have to do the small thing that it is you're calling us to do at that point. Remind us that we all need each other. And we thank you for the family of faith. We thank you that we aren't meant to do it alone and we don't have to because you've given us a body. And you're always with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.